Well, we're there in Luke chapter number 4, and we've been in a series for the last 4 weeks on the subject of temptation and temptations. If you remember 4 weeks ago, we kind of began with this idea of temptation, and we showed from Scripture when you are the most vulnerable to temptations and when you are the most likely to have Satan come attack you. And we talked about the fact that when you are hungry and when you are angry, and when you are lonely, and lonely doesn't mean that you're lonely like you don't have people around you. It just means that you're not connected. You're not allowing yourself to be accountable to anybody when you're lonely. And of course, when you're tired, you are most likely to give in to a temptation. And that's when Satan is the most likely to bring a temptation to you. And we saw there the temptation of Christ. And we've taken the last 3 weeks and looked at those temptations of Jesus when Satan tempted him with the hunger and asking him to make the stones bread, and we learned that Satan will tempt us in our flesh and those things that our flesh desires. Last week we saw a temptation in the fact that we will doubt our faith, that he wants to bring us to the place where we will tempt God and where we will say to God, you know, and we will accuse God and charge God foolishly. We learned about Job, how the way that he refrained from sinning was by not charging God foolishly. And this week we'll be looking at that third temptation, and the reason we've been studying these temptations is because, again, like I've said before, as we've been going through the series, Satan is going to bring his best game to Jesus. If Satan is going to tempt Jesus Christ and try to get him to sin, he's going to bring the best temptations that he can muster up. So if he would bring these to Christ, he will bring them to us. And we have to be ready, and we have to be willing to understand and to not be ignorant of his devices. And to be honest with you, the series was kind of scheduled to end today, and it probably will. There's one more sermon that I'm kind of debating maybe giving next week, but we'll see how that goes. I'll pray about that, and I'll trust that you'll pray with me, that the Holy Spirit will lead me as to what we should speak about next week and learn from God's Word. Anytime you open up God's Word, it's going to be good, so I'm not worried about that. But I'd like you to look at Luke chapter 4. And look at verse number 5 as we look at this last temptation of Christ. Luke chapter number 4 and verse number 5, the Bible says this, "And the devil taking him up into a high mountain." Now remember, we saw last week from Matthew 4 that he took him to the pinnacle of the temple to get him to tempt God. Here he takes him up to a high mountain and showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world. And I want you to make note of this phrase, in a moment of time. And I just want to give you this thought. It's not really part of the sermon, but it's just an interesting thing to me. Here we're told, and we're not exactly sure how he did it. The Bible doesn't describe to us how he did it. But we are told this, that Satan takes Jesus up to a high mountain, and he showed him. You see that word showed there? He visually allowed him to see all the kingdoms of the world. So he saw every kingdom that was upon this earth, but he saw it in a moment of time. Now, I don't know how he did that. Maybe, you know, Satan in those days had access to a plasma screen or something. I don't know how he did it. You know, he pulled up YouTube or something, but he showed Jesus the kingdoms of this world. But I want you to notice, he did it in a moment of time. And I was thinking to myself, as I was thinking about the sermon and kind of studying it out and just processing some of these things, you know, why does the Bible, because you got to understand, the Bible is preserved. It is the inspired word of God. There's nothing in the Bible that's in there by mistake or, you know, God doesn't just add fluff. If he puts something in Scripture, he puts it in there for a reason. And God tells us, Satan showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Now, I got to thinking about that. If Satan had actually physically taken Christ to see all the kingdoms of the world, I mean, they're in Rome, and he would have gone to all these different nations, all these different kingdoms at that time, and taken them, and he could have done that. He had the power to do that. If he would have taken Jesus to every kingdom upon this world and showed him those kingdoms and then tempted Christ and said, hey, you know, I can give you this if you'll worship me, that might have given Jesus a lot of time to think. But notice, when Satan tempts, he does it in a moment of time. He does it quickly. He doesn't want to give you time to think. It's the same idea that these grocery and retail stores have. When, you know, when you get to that checkout and you got all that stuff there, that's not really anything you need. It's not you. No one goes to the grocery store to go through the checkout. You know what I mean? I mean, you go to the grocery store to buy things, and then you get to the checkout, and you end up grabbing things. You know, the reason they put those things there is because they know you don't need that junk. And in fact, if they had it at the front of the store and you grabbed all that stuff and then you had to go through the whole store with those things in your basket, you might have time to think about it and you might say, you know what? I really don't need that. You know, I don't need that Snickers bar. I don't need that Kit Kat. I didn't really come here for ChapStick. You know what I mean? But they put those things there because they want you to have an impulse buy. They want you to not have time to think, to say, oh, I want that. And by the time you've paid for it and you're out the door, you think to yourself, why did I buy that? And see, that's what Satan does. He'll come to you and he'll put a temptation in front of you in a moment of time. Say, you got to make a decision right now. And you got to be aware of those. We talked about that the first week. When you're tempted, you are to halt. You are to stop. You are to slow down. You are to say, wait a minute. Let me take a moment to think about this. Because the biggest mistakes we make in a hurry. You know, the worst things you say. And those words that come out of your mouth and later on you regret. You said those things. Why? Because you didn't think. Because you didn't stop. Because in a moment of time you were tempted to say something or do something or go somewhere or take something that you knew you shouldn't have. And I just want you to be familiar with the devices. Now, of course, Christ was not going to give in to any temptation. But it's interesting there that God tells us that he showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Look at verse number 6. And the devil said unto him, now notice what Satan says to Jesus. This is interesting. He says, all this power will I give thee. So what did he show him? He showed them the kingdoms of the world. What does that mean? He showed him governments. He showed him riches. He showed him palaces. He showed him power. He showed him authority. He said, you can rule these nations. You can rule this world. And then Satan says to Christ, he says, all this power will I give thee and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. Did you catch that? He said, all the kingdoms of the world have been delivered unto me. Notice what he says. And whomsoever I will, this is Satan speaking, whomsoever I will, I give it. You've got to understand something about the world that we live in. You've got to understand something about the society that we live in. We often teach and preach that this world is corrupt, that this world, that we ought to separate and we ought to come out from among them and be separate. We ought to be different than this world. We ought not be conformed to this world. And sometimes people say, well, what's so bad about the world? Here's what's so bad about the world. It's under the control of Satan. Everything in this world is under the power of Satan. You say, well, I thought Jesus was the king and I thought God was in control of everything. But you've got to understand this. This world has been delivered to Satan for a time. It will be taken back. But right now, Satan is in control. You're there in Luke. Go with me to the book of John just real quickly. John is the next book from Luke. Go to John chapter number 12. Look at verse number 31. John chapter number 12 and verse number 31. Let me just show you some references to this. John chapter 12 and verse 31, the Bible says this. You're there in Luke, just flip a few pages over into the book of John. John chapter 12, 31 says, now is the judgment of this world. Now, notice, shall the prince of this world be cast out. Now, the prince of the world will be cast out, but that's not Jesus. Jesus is not the prince of this world. He's the prince of peace. But there is a prince of this world who is Satan who will be cast out. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You're there in John. Just go past the book of Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Look at verse number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 4 says this. 2 Corinthians 4, 4 says, in whom, notice this, the God of this world. Now notice, do you see that word God there? That's a lowercase g, okay? In your King James Bible, whenever you see that lowercase g, it's referring to a false god or not the God. You know, God the Father is always capital G, God. But here it says, in whom the lowercase g God, now notice, not of the universe, not of eternity, but of this world, notice, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So here the Bible tells us that there is a God of this world who has blinded those who do not believe. Go to Ephesians. You're there in 2 Corinthians. Go past Galatians and into the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 2. Look at verse number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse 2. Past 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. Chapter 2, verse 2, the Bible says, wherein time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the, notice, prince of the power of the air. Do you see that? The Bible says that he's not only the prince of this world, but he is the prince of the power of the air. That's why you got to be careful with the things that are transmitted, those airwaves and the things that come in through your television and through your radio and those things. Because who controls that? The prince of the power of this world. The prince of this world, the god of this world, Satan, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You're there in Ephesians 2. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Look at verse 12. Ephesians 6:12. Notice the Bible says, this well-known verse, Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." You got to understand this. You and I are not in a war against other human beings. We're not fighting men. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Who are we wrestling? Who are we fighting? Who are we at war with? But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. You say, well, who are those people that are controlling those kingdoms that Satan tempted Christ with? Notice, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You got to understand this. This world is controlled by Satan and his devils. He is the prince of the power of the air. He is the god of this world. He is the prince of the world. And he says to Christ, if you'll make your way back to Luke chapter 4, he says to Christ, all these things have been delivered unto me. He says, whomsoever I will, I give it. He says, I control the world. And I want you to notice the offer he makes to Christ. It's Luke chapter 4 and verse 7. If thou therefore wilt worship me, now notice what he says. Here's the offer. All shall be thine. And do you know that Satan makes the same offer to you? You know that Satan comes to you like he will come to Christ, and he'll say, hey, you want riches? You want fame? You want glory? You want power? You want things? I control the entire world. I control all the kingdoms of the world. They're mine. They've been delivered unto me, and whomsoever I will, I give it. And here's the offer he makes, and here's the temptation he makes. He tempts me in my flesh. He does it. And he says, he tempts me to forsake my faith and to forsake the things of this world. And that's true. But he will also come to you, and he will say, hey, what do you want? I can give it to you. What do you desire? It shall be thine. But there's a catch. Look at verse 7 again. If thou therefore will worship me. And you got to understand this. That is the cost of having everything you want from this world. You look at these superstars and these movie stars, and you look at these singers, and today, you know, and today there are people who literally worship those people because Satan has given them power and authority and money and fame and finances. There are people all over this country. I'm talking about Christian people. I'm talking about believing people. I'm talking about people who have a testimony of Jesus Christ who today decided, I will not go to church and I will worship at the altar of the Super Bowl. And I'm here to tell you that those people are controlled by Satan. Amen. There are people that go to rock concerts and literally worship these, you know, rappers and these singers and these movie stars. And here's what you understand. If there is a person on this earth that has the power and the kingdoms and the riches of this world, they have that because they are in cahoots with the devil. The only way to get it is through the devil. It belongs to him. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when someone is famous, someone is rich, people always say, you know, they act like, oh, such a big conspiracy. Do you know so-and-so? They're so famous and they're in the Illuminati. And such. And I'm thinking to myself, every famous person is in cahoots with Satan. It belongs to him. It's the world. It is the devil's. He is the prince of this world. He is the god of this world. He controls the kingdom. And to whomsoever he will give it to, he will give it to. So if you have it, then you obviously fell for the temptation. And here's the thing. He offers it to you. You want it? You want those things? You want those riches? You want that authority? You want that power? You want that fame? He says, Satan says, I can give it to you. He said, I'm willing to give it to you. I'll give it to you, but here's the catch. If thou therefore will worship me. And he says, you can have it, but you got to worship me. Now here's what you got to understand. Keep your finger there in Luke chapter 4. Go with me just real quickly to the book of Exodus. Exodus in the Old Testament. You got Genesis and you got the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 20 is where we find the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20, and let me show you Exodus chapter 20 and verse 17. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 17. As one of the Ten Commandments, God put in there a commandment against the sin of covetousness. And you may think to yourself, I'm not really sure what that word means, and I'd like to define it for you from Scripture. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 17 says this: God put a sin against this. Exodus 20:17, Genesis, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 17, he says, "Thou shalt not covet." So what does that mean? Thy neighbor's house. He says, I don't want you to covet your neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Nor, notice this, so he said, I don't want you to covet your neighbor's house. He said, I don't want you to covet your neighbor's wife. He said, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. So God says, it is a sin to covet a house that belongs to your neighbor, someone that's not you. It is a sin to covet a wife that belongs, or a husband that belongs to your neighbor, or a manservant, or a maidservant, or an ox, or an ass, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Go to Romans chapter number 7 in the New Testament. Romans chapter number 7. If you were there in Luke, you go past John, Acts, Romans. Romans chapter 7, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and Romans. Look at what Paul said in Romans chapter 7. Exodus 20 tells us that we are not to covet our neighbor's house, nor our neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is our neighbor's. In Romans chapter 7, Paul said this. Romans chapter 7 and verse number 7 says this. Romans 7:7 says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Now notice what he says. Nay, he says, the law is a good thing. The law is not bad. He says, nay, I had not known sin but by the law. He said, the only way that I know what sin is because the law tells me what is right and what is wrong. Notice what he says. For I had not known lust. Now usually we think of lust and we think of like a sexual thing. And the word of lust definitely has that connotation to it. But here he says, for I had not known lust, notice, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Do you see that? So the Bible uses these words interchangeably, lust and covet. Because lust has to do with your desire. Lust has to do with the things that you want. And he says, hey, I had not known lust. He said, I would have not known that it was wrong to desire something, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. So here's what the Bible is teaching us. The Bible teaches us that it is wrong to covet or lust or desire our neighbor's house, or our neighbor's wife, or our neighbor's manservant, or our neighbor's maidservant, or his ox, or his ass, or anything that is our neighbor's. We have in us, all of us have in us, this ability or this potential to allow our desire for things that we do not have to control us. To want to look at somebody else's car, or look at somebody else's house, or look at somebody else's family, or look at somebody else's job, or say, I wish I had what they had, or I wish I had those shoes, or I wish I had those clothes, or I wish I had those, you know, whatever it is. And the Bible teaches that it is wrong to desire something that does not belong to you. Now, let me explain something, because I think sometimes people confuse these things. There is nothing wrong with having nice things. In the Bible, there are all sorts of people that had nice things. In the Bible, in fact, I would submit to you that in the Bible, you will find that God used more rich people to do his work than we would like to admit. I mean, God uses, there's nothing wrong with having money. There's nothing wrong with having nice things. There's nothing wrong with being successful. There is nothing wrong with deciding that you would like to save to purchase something that you need or even want. You say, I want this. I'm going to save. I'm going to purchase it. I'm not lusting and coveting after time. It's just something that, you know, it's a goal that I have. There's nothing wrong with that. But there is something wrong with going around and coveting and lusting after things that you do not have. There is something wrong with being consumed with things, even if you cannot afford them. There is something wrong with having a desire for something that you just can't. You can't get your neighbor's house. He lives there. You shouldn't get your neighbor's wife. He's married to her. Do you understand that? There's nothing wrong with having nice things. There's nothing wrong with saying, oh, I'd like to purchase this, or I'd like to buy this, and I'm going to save money for it, and I'm going to buy it. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But there is something wrong with being consumed with, I want this. I want that. I want that power. I want that authority. I want that money. I want that kingdom. I want those things. And you say, well, how do you know if you're consumed with those things? If you're the type of person that's constantly talking about things, oh, did you see that car? My Honda Civic? Yeah, it's nice, isn't it? Needs to be washed, but it's nice. You know, oh, did you see? Oh, man, did you see that? Oh, look at that house. If you're the kind of person that's constantly just talking about things, look, I didn't say there's nothing wrong with things. It's good to have things. I hope you have things. I hope you enjoy things. But if you just consume with, Jesus said this, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And if you're just constantly talking about, oh, I have this and I have that and I'm going to get this and I'm going to get that and I wish I had this and I wish I had that, all you're doing is revealing for us what's in your heart. Because you talk about the things that are in your heart. We all have in us the potential to allow our desire for things that we do not have to get out of control. We all have in us a disposition to be covetous. We all have in us this disposition to say, I want this, and I'd like this to be better, and that would be nice, and oh, did you see what they had, and oh, that I'd like that. We all have that in us. And Satan knows that. So he'll come to you and say, what do you want? I can give it to you because it all belongs to me. What would you like? What can I give you? Here's one catch. You got to worship me. Here's one catch. You got to fall down at the altar of this world and of Satan. Go back to Luke, and we are in chapter 4, but look at Luke chapter 12 just real quickly. Jesus taught on the subject of covetousness. And when he taught on the subject of covetousness, he told a parable. And Jesus would often tell stories in order to bring a point across. And I'd like you to see this parable that he taught in regards to covetousness. Luke chapter 12, and look at verse number 16. Luke chapter 12 and verse 16. Notice what he says. Luke chapter 12 and verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. That means he had a lot of stuff. He is very successful in business. Now listen, up to this point, the rich man had done nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with making money. There's nothing wrong with being successful. If you go into business, I hope you'll want to, you know, be successful in your business. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. That's a good thing. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. Here's what he's saying. I have more than I know what to do with. He said, I have more things than I can store. Verse 18. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, now it's interesting because he begins to talk to himself here. He says, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Now here's the question. What did this rich man do that was wrong? Was it wrong for him to start a business? Absolutely not. Was it wrong for him to bring forth plentifully? Absolutely not. Was it wrong for him to have nice things? Absolutely not. There's nothing wrong with any of that. I think it was the CEO of Chick-fil-A who has a famous quote. And he says, there's nothing wrong with having money in your hand as long as you don't allow it to go into your heart. And this man's problem was not that he had nice things. But notice, he allowed his life. Look at verse 19. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, I have a lot of things, and I will spend the rest of my life enjoying my things. Do you understand that? He said, I have a lot of things. He said, I have more things than I know what to do with. So, you know, I'm not going to give it away. I'm not going to help somebody in need. I'm not going to do it and invest it into maybe somebody's life or a ministry or some way that it'll help somebody. I'm not going to invest it back into the business so I can hire more people and we can help more people. He said, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to build up, you know, this barn, and I'm going to build up these things, and I'm going to sit back and I'm going to take my ease, and I'm going to eat and I'm going to drink and I'm going to be merry. And here's what he was saying. He was saying, I have more things than I can spend and that I can even put in my house. So I'm going to spend the rest of my life enjoying things. He didn't say, I'm going to invest into my family or into relationships or into people or into the ministry. He said, I'm just going to enjoy the things that I have. Do you think that's what God wants for us, to spend the rest of our lives just enjoying things? That's materialism. That's covetousness. It's wrong to have this desire. If I could just get this one thing, I'd be happy. If I could just get that car, I'd be so happy. If I could just get those. Now look, is there something wrong with having those? There's nothing wrong with having those things. But there is something wrong if your desire for your life is consumed in this idea, a of things. Because if you want things, here's what Satan will say. You want things? Oh, yeah, I'd like things. What do you want? Oh, I'd like X. Put whatever you want in there. I'd like that car. I'd like that job. I'd like that girl. I'd like that whatever it is. I'd like to live in that neighborhood. And he said, I can give it to you. I can give it to you. Here's all you have to do. Worship me. What do you want? I can give it to you. Here's all you have to do. Worship me. Now notice verse 20 of Luke chapter 12. I'm sorry, verse 15. Look at verse 15. We read the parable, but let me show you the statement that Christ makes before the parable. Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, he says this. For he said unto them, take heed and beware. That word beware means to be careful or cautious. He said, I want you to be very careful. I want you to be very cautious of covetousness. He said, covetousness is something you want to be very careful with. You want to be cautious. Why? Why, Jesus? Why do we need to be careful of covetousness? Here's why. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Do you understand that? You are not things. Your life is more than the house you live in and the clothes you wear and the car you drive. Your life is more than the things you have. Your life is more than the money you have in a bank account. Your life is not things. Your life does not consist of things. So when an individual says, I will spend the rest of my life enjoying things, God says, your life is more than that. He said, you're worth more than that. You are more than that. Why would you waste your life consuming and pursuing things? He said, a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And here's the point that God's trying to make. And here's what I want you to understand. The things of this world, they're nice. They're shiny. They're new. They're expensive. They get people to think that we're cooler or smarter or more successful than we really are. We can impress people with the things we have. But the things of this world stay on this world. They don't go with you. Because if you look at verse 20 of Luke chapter 12, the parable ends like this. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? See, you spend your life consuming things, you spend your life acquiring things, and you can impress all of us with all the different things you have, and you ought to see, I've got the newest, every gadget that's new, I have it, every vehicle that's new, I have it, all the money, I live in the best house, I have the nicest clothes, there's nothing wrong with having nice clothes, there's nothing wrong with living in a nice house, there's nothing wrong with having nice vehicles, I hope you have all those things. But if your life is consisting of things, you just got to understand this, the things of this world stay on this world. And one day you will die, and God will look down and say, you are a fool. Because now all those things that you have, all that money that you had, all those riches that you had, who shall those things be? Because you're not taking them with you. The things of this world stay on this world. Your life should be about more than things. Go back to Luke chapter 4. Notice what Jesus said. Satan comes to us and he says, what do you want? Whatever you want, I'll give it to you. What you want something? And some of us, man, we sell ourselves out for cheap. I mean, I know people, they get a job making minimum wage and they quit church because of it. I'm thinking to myself, you sold out for that? Yeah, at least the guy playing football is making millions. Pastor, I'm just not going to be able to come to church anymore because I got a job at McDonald's. I'm not mocking you if you work at McDonald's, but I am mocking you if you skip church to work at McDonald's. I'm mocking you if you skip church to work anywhere. I'm the CEO. I don't care. Your life, does your life consist of things? Can you take it with you? Why, yeah, I make $5,000 an hour. Are you going to take that with you when you die? Because the things of this world stay on this world. And when you live your life acquiring and consuming and saying, look what I have and look what I have and look what I have, the inevitable thing is that one day you will die. And God will say, what did you do with your life? You'll say, well, I had a lot of nice things. And you'll say, you were a fool to sell out for stuff that is temporary, that you cannot do anything with. Luke chapter 4, look at verse 6. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written. I want you to notice what Jesus says. Number one, he says this, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. He said, you know what, Satan? You know why I'm not going to worship you? Because I'm supposed to worship God. And in order to worship you, I would have to give in to the things of this world. And let me ask you this question. Who do you worship? Now, it's easy. It's easy for us to say, well, I mean, I'm not worshiping the devil. Okay, well, Jesus then made this statement, kind of to clear it up. Notice what he says. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, verse 8. And, now these are connected. Worshiping God and this statement is connected. And him only shalt thou serve. Here's the question. Who do you serve? Well, Pastor, you don't understand. I just can't go to church because I've got this big old house that I've got to pay for. So is that who you're serving, your house? Well, you don't understand. I've got this really nice car, and if I don't make the payment, they're going to take it. So is that who you're serving? My question is this. Who do you serve with your life? Because some people work so that they can serve God. Some people work so that they can serve things. And if your life consists of things, then I hate to break it to you, but you're a fool. And you're wasting your life. Because the things of this world stay on this world. And you say, well, I've got lots, but you're going to die one day. And the question will be, what are you going to do with those things when you die? Go to Matthew chapter 6, look at verse 24. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Matthew 6, 24. Matthew 6, 24 says this. Matthew 6, 24. We all have the tendency to give in to the desire of stuff. We all have the tendency to give in to desire of things and to put a greater value on them than they really have. Matthew 6, 24 says this is a parallel passage with the passage we were looking at in Luke 12. Matthew 6, 24, Jesus said this, no man can serve two masters. Because remember, he said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, him only shalt thou serve, right? So then he says this, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Do you see that phrase? Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Now, for a long time, I would read this and I think to myself, why does the Bible say you cannot serve God and mammon? I mean, that doesn't really make sense in my head. Because in my mind, I would think, why wouldn't it say you cannot serve God and Satan? Wouldn't that make more sense? You cannot serve God and the world. You cannot serve God and sin. That's what I think it should say. But it says, you cannot serve God and mammon. Well, the word mammon means this, wealth, riches, and things. It's materialism. God says you cannot serve God and mammon. You say, well, why does he say that? Because here's what God knows. If you are worshiping, if you are serving, if you are acquiring, if your life is about mammon, you got there because you knelt down and worshiped the world and sin and Satan. And Jesus says, I'm not going to worship you because I'm going to worship God. And I'm not going to serve you because I'm going to serve God. Because you cannot serve God and things and mammon. Look at verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. And he keeps making these statements. Is not the life more than meat? The word meat there in our King James Bible is just food. He said, isn't your life more than, I know you eat at really nice restaurants, but isn't your life more than just food? And the body, then raiment, the word raiment means clothes. Isn't your life more than the clothes you wear? Well, I wear the nicest, you know, I don't even know what the name brands are, good night. But you wear the nicest ones. I would never wear Walmart brand. Look, I'm not telling you to go shop at Walmart. But I'm saying this, isn't your body more than raiment? And isn't your life more than meat? Doesn't your life consist of more things than just the things you have? What does your life consist of? See, one day we're all going to die. And the things that you have are going to stay on this world. The things of this world will stay on this world. And you ought to think about the day of your death. What will be said about you when you die? What will be said about you when you die? Are they going to say, he brought many to Christ? Will people stand up at your funeral and say, I am saved because so-and-so gave me the gospel? I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I am a disciple of Christ because he invested time into me. He invested his life into me. Are they going to say he loved people and he invested into people and he gave his life for people and he gave his life for relationships? Or are they going to say he had nice things? And if that's all they can say about you, I used to love going to Uncle So-and-so because, he had nice things. If that's all I can say, be said about you when you die, you will get to heaven and God will say, you were a fool. Because Satan can give you whatever you want. You want it, he can give it to you. But it's temporary. Moses said there's pleasure in sin. The book of Hebrews says about Moses that there's pleasure in sin. I won't deny it. There is pleasure in sin for a season. And the question is this: are you living your life for things that are temporary, or are you living your life for things that are eternal? Pastor, it's a Super Bowl, so I'm not going to be able to make it to church. You know, when people say stuff like that to me, I don't say it to their face, but I think within myself, that is a sad life. Yeah. That your life consists on a game. That as soon as it's done, and while it's being played, and before it even started, meant nothing. Amen. Did nothing. Accomplished nothing. You made them rich. You worshiped at their altar. And you gave into the flesh. That's sad. I'm not even mad at those people. I just think it's a sad thing that your life consists of temporary things. It means nothing. We need to be not rich to this world. Go back to Luke 12. We'll be done. Luke chapter 12. Look at verse 20. Luke chapter 12, verse 20. You did a good job not coming to church this morning. Some of you are like, I don't know, it's a Super Bowl. I got to get out of here. It's okay. We still love you. Luke chapter 12, look at verse 20. But God said unto him, only reason I know it's a Super Bowl is because somebody told me. I couldn't even tell you who's playing. Say, Pastor, do you not care? It means nothing. It's nothing. Luke chapter 12, look at verse 20. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required at thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Verse 21. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself. If you're laying up treasures for yourself, if that's what your life is about, the things you can get, then you're a fool. But not if you are rich towards God, because he says, and is not rich toward God. Let me ask you. I'm glad you're rich. And I'm all for you being rich. Like I said already, God uses rich people in the Bible. There's nothing wrong with having money. There's something wrong with loving money. The Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. But if your goal in life is things, 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 rich, 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 if I just had this, I would be happy. And you're not rich towards God. Because see, being rich towards God is investing in those things which are eternal. Relationships are eternal. Souls are eternal. The things of God are eternal. And I'm just here to tell you, Satan will come to you. Because he knows we all have this thing in us that wants things. And he'll say, what do you want? Oh, if I could just have that one job. What do you want? If I could just have that one car. What do you want? If I could just have those friends. If I could just have that fame. Whatever it is. Say, I can give it to you. What do I have to do to get it? Just worship me. And there are those Christians who say, no, I'm going to worship God. And I'm not going to serve mammon and I'm not going to serve you. I'm going to serve God. Because the things of this world stay on this world. And God said, you're a wise individual. And then there are those of us who say, I want things. And unfortunately, you will get to heaven. And God will say, you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, but you wasted your life because the things of this world stay on this world. Let's bow our heads.